You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Every now and then I'll start the broadcast with an email question or a Facebook question. A question from Jesse, who writes, "My faith has been shaken for doubt as well as for personal reasons. Because I've read that there is historical and archaeological evidence of Jesus being mentioned by Josephus and by Pliny and by other people of history, but I've read about evidence of Jesus being debunked due to the writings of historical figures having been altered in the process. So, is there really such evidence for Jesus?" I love this question because there is really historical and archaeological evidence for Jesus the Christ. But I also think this question is astute in that it evidences the fact that there is spin which has been produced by second and third century documents, as well as credible evidence. In fact, from early external evidences provided by credible historians, historians like the Jewish Josephus, or the Roman Tacitus, or Suetonius, or Plinius, through those evidences, it is actually possible to piece together highlights of Christ and Christianity completely apart from the internal biblical evidences themselves. But the contrast between these credible first century external evidences and then later less credible sources couldn't be more stark. Tacitus is rightly regarded as the greatest first century historian of the ancient Roman Empire. And while the Talmud rarely mentions historical details surrounding Second Temple Judaism, and where it does, it consistently muddles them. So there's a big difference between Tacitus and the Talmud. Just two examples. But I think it's incredible to think that Tacitus, and by the way, when we're talking about him, we're talking about a person who is widely considered to be the greatest first century historian of the ancient Roman Empire, that he would provide credible external evidence for the biblical account of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and that at the hands of the Roman governor Pontius Pilate, or for that matter, that the Jewish Josephus, and I've said this many times in the broadcast, he was writing to please the Romans, that he would provide ancient, authoritative attestation to the authenticity of the sacred text. But that is precisely the case. And therefore, I would say to Jesse, the words of the hymn writer still echo through the ages, "How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word," but not only in his excellent word, but also in external, credible evidences by which you can piece together highlights of the life of Christ wholly apart from the biblical text itself. Again, in answer to a Facebook question. As always, you can contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also contact us on the web, equip.org, or simply talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Do remember, The Week That Changed the World. If you haven't seen it, I've watched it quite a few times. It's absolutely stunning. But think about this. We're talking about the week, not a week, but the week that changed the world. I mean, this is the week from Palm Sunday to Pascha, when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I mean, that's our Pentecost. I mean, that is our Passover, the Passover lamb, not only crucified, but resurrected from the dead. A lot of you hanging on, we'll go right to the phone lines. First up is David listening in Washington. Hi, David.
Hi. I'm calling because a friend of mine and I are having a discussion regarding Peter's vision of seeing the sheep come down with the four-hoofed animal. And also noted that in Revelation, it talked about unclean animals, and we're wondering if pig would be part of those, and should we remove those from our diet?
No, absolutely not. Remember that Jesus makes the point explicitly when he says it's not what goes into a man's mouth and then out through his body that defiles him, it is that which proceeds from the heart. And in saying that, Jesus pronounced all foods clean. In other words, he was the fulfillment of the civil and ceremonial laws. And the episode with Peter that you mentioned is pretty telling as well, because Peter has to see the vision three different times before he finally realizes what the import of the vision is. And so when he goes to visit a Gentile named Cornelius, he says to Cornelius, now I understand that God does not show favoritism. Because Peter at once thought that Cornelius was unclean, and then the vision changed his perspective. Don't call unclean what I have called clean. Christ did not come as merely a parochial Jewish Messiah, but rather he came as one through whom the gospel would go out to the far reaches of the world. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Joe. He's listening in Tennessee. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how's it going?
Going well, thank you.
Yeah, my question is, I know we're not supposed to have a lot of hate in our heart, but is it okay to hate Satan?
Well, yes, it is. It is okay to hate the world, the flesh, and the devil. I mean, this is the antithesis of loving the Lord your God, being brought into fellowship of the Trinity. That is the very thing by which we are experiencing what we were designed to experience, which is deification, partaking in the divine nature. And so the detestable things of the world become just that, detestable to them. We loathe those things which would pull us down from the very thing for which we were created. And that very thing is augmented in terms of language by reading both Revelation chapter 21 and Revelation chapter 22. I mean, think about what the last page of the Bible says: outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. So we are called to hate those things that defile the righteousness and the glory of God. So our love has to be sincere. And the text in Romans tells us, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. So the text itself is explicit in this regard. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Bob, listening in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Bob.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I was just wanting to get a little clarification on when it says in the Bible, I believe you're young man that answered the phone said it was in Proverbs 18 about the power of the tongue, that there's life and death in the tongue. Can you clarify what that actually means?
Yeah, absolutely. Our tongue can have a devastating impact on another person. But obviously, as I've pointed out many times on the broadcast, it cannot create reality. So what you say really does matter. The use of your tongue is capable of imparting spiritual life to people by the power of the Holy Spirit, but is also capable of killing them. It is, for those who rule over it, a virtue, and for those who do not, it is a devastating vice. So your tongue can have an incredible impact on someone. But unfortunately, in today's culture, we have preachers saying, well, if you say that tickled me to death, you've just spoke the word death, and therefore, likely, you've just killed yourself by speaking a word of fear rather than speaking a word of faith. That, of course, is nonsense and goes beyond the meaning of the text.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Be right back.
Did you know that without the bodily resurrection of Jesus, there is no Christianity and no hope? As the Apostle Paul wrote, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless and you are still in your sins. But history and archaeology attest to the fact that Jesus did rise from the dead. Don't miss historian Paul Meyer's documentary, The Week That Changed the World. This DVD will give you hard, verifiable facts of history and archaeology on the resurrection. Receive The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. The resurrection is without question the most important event in human history. Why? The resurrection astonishingly did more than miraculously reverse the order of sin and death that plagues humanity. It inaugurated a whole new order of being for us and for the universe. Unfortunately, far too many people, believers and unbelievers alike, fail to grasp the enormous implications of this event. To strengthen your faith and equip you to provide credible answers to questions concerning the death and resurrection of Christ, the Christian Research Institute is offering the documentary film on DVD, The Week That Changed the World, featuring historian Paul Meyer. Receive The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is without question the most important event in human history. To strengthen your faith and equip you to provide credible answers to family and friends concerning the central event of Christianity, the Christian Research Institute is offering The Week That Changed the World on DVD, featuring historian Paul Meyer. Receive The Week That Changed the World as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and we'll get right back to our phone callers. Next up is Steve, listening in Lakewood, Washington. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Hank. Long time no talk to. I've called in many times with many questions, mostly around centering around Adventism since 1989. But today my question is rather basic, or at least probably going to be basic for you. In John 14:12, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these." Was he just specifically talking to the disciples then, or any one of us?
Well, no, I think he was talking to the disciples and vicariously to us. So it's not a either or, it's a both and. And the greater works indicate that Christ working through us as mere mortals is greater than his performing signs and wonders, because he is Theanthropos, the God-man. And these works attested to in the Bible includes spreading the gospel, which is something that we do in the present age as well. So greater than healing someone or causing someone to be able to see is to give them the power of the Holy Spirit residing with them such that they can experience life and fellowship in the Trinity. That is the greatest of all miracles. It is the greatest of all wonders. And you think, even in the present, how you can have Jesus Christ really present in our midst, something we celebrate every single time we get together and have in community communion.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Jack. He's listening in Clarksville, Indiana. Hi, Jack.
Hank, how are you today?
Well, thank you.
My question is, I'm having a problem, me and my wife are having a problem, with the Pentecostal religion. You know, they are strong in laying on the hands and speaking in tongues. And they had a traveling evangelist come and speak at a church, and he said he was down in Brazil, and he was supposedly asked by these people down there to come and see if they could raise this guy from the dead. And he spoke in church and said that he laid his hands on this guy, and he rose from the dead. Have you ever heard of anything like that happening? And I told my wife, I said, how convenient. He's down there in the jungles of Brazil. Where can anybody verify this? I said, I really have a problem with a lot of these people that are pretending to be, in the fire of the Holy Ghost, like the Pentecostals believe in. I just wondered your opinion or what you think about that.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that I would say, and this may appear very obvious, and that is that God, who spoke and the universe leapt into existence, can raise the dead. And he can use human agency in the process. He can do this directly, as Jesus did with Lazarus. So the idea of raising from the dead is a biblical idea. But actually, when you look at the Bible, what does that actually do? The miracles attest to those who give us the scriptures. Now, therefore, we can trust the scriptures as being authentic. And I would add to this that there are times and places where God manifests himself in a supernatural way, apart from looking at his divine nature and his eternal power is displayed in the universe itself. You look at the heavens, and that's precisely what you see. There are times that God, in remote places and for his own reasons, does do the miraculous. So we cannot discount that. That has happened not only in biblical history, but I would contend beyond biblical history. But to your point, I have done lots of research on people in the contemporary world who claim to raise people from the dead, or who claim to have seen someone raised from the dead. And whenever I've done the primary research, I've ended up with people having to walk away from their contentions. So the idea of this being normative or prevalent, we can rule out. And the kinds of miracles that the faith healers contend for are conspicuous by their absence. I've told this story in the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but I remember having dinner with Benny Hinn, who probably still is. He was the premier faith teacher at the time. And he was telling me about tens of thousands of miraculous healings. And I distinctly said to him, I can't deal with tens of thousands. It's beyond the scope of what I'm able to do, but I'd like to just see your three most authentic healings. In other words, you pick of the tens of thousands, just three, and send them to me. I'd be very interested in them. Well, he did. To his credit, he sent them to me, and we did some primary research. All three of them ended up being bogus. This is not anyone's opinion. This is flat out the reality. All three of them were bogus. So here's the predominant premier faith healer of our time who gives me the three best miracles that he can supposedly verify, and all three of them end up being bogus. In my book, Christianity in Crisis, I think in a footnote, I describe those three miracles and how all three of them do not correspond to reality.
Yeah, that was convenient because he was selling his books there at the church, and I said, I just felt like he was a con artist, a scam artist, and I hope that the Lord will forgive me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I think we do right to look at these things with a good deal of skepticism, I mean, particularly in light of the fact that you have a rich man who dies and wants Father Abraham to send Lazarus back to warn his brothers that they do not come to a place of torment as he finds himself in. And the enigmatic reply was, they have Moses and the prophets. If they don't believe that, they're not going to believe even if someone rises from the dead, which is to say, we have all of the evidence necessary to be able to demonstrate the veracity of the Christian faith. Beyond that, we live in a fallen world. And this order of things is the order that we are now, as it were, saddled with. When Jesus appears a second time, God himself will be with us. He will be our God. We will be his people, and then he'll wipe every tear from our eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. Behold, all things will become new. In the meantime, everyone's going to get sick, and eventually everyone's going to die. The death rate has always been universal. Every single person that lives ends up dying. The hope for the Christian is not that God can heal. He can, of course. The hope for the Christian is in resurrection. We look forward to communion with God. And while we're in the flesh, it's not so much that we want to be healed. I mean, I want to have health. And the reason is I want to be able to use my life for God's glory. But I also realize that in some of the difficult times of life, the times where you're in want or the times where you have physical maladies, those are the times when you come face to face with your dependence on God. Spurgeon, I don't know if I can quote this correctly, but he once said, "Were you ever in the melting pot, dear friends? I have been there, and my sermons have been with me." And the result of melting is that we arrive at a true valuation of things. And then we are poured out in new and better fashion. And he appended his remarks by saying, oh, we could almost wish for the melting pot so we could get rid of the dross so that we could be made more and more like unto our Savior. I've written about all of this in various places, including Counterfeit Revival and Christianity in Crisis. You can find both resources on the web at equip.org. Do remember the resources which we're featuring all this month: The Week That Changed the World, a DVD featuring Dr. Paul Meyer. Also, The Third Day. I think it's incumbent on every single Christian to be able to demonstrate that the resurrection is the greatest feat, F-E-A-T, in the annals of recorded history. Each one of those letters gives you the tip-off of how you can demonstrate that the resurrection is rooted in history. You can find on the web at equip.org, and a reminder that we need people to stand with us prayerfully and financially. Without your support, I simply could not do what I do. So thanks for standing with us in the battle for life and truth. We'll see you next time with more of the show.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We pray that today's program has deepened your understanding of Scripture and helped you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.